And as Carol prepares to read our scripture lesson for us this morning from Luke's Gospel, let's invoke the Holy Spirit's presence with our prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's lesson is from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. And you can follow on the screens. It's on page 1602 in your pew Bibles. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turned to the crowd following him. He said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country.
Good morning. Hello, how are you? Hi, honey, how are you? Well, today's children's message is inspired by Henry. Henry, when I was thinking of the children's message today, I said, how can I compete with soup? So I decided that today we were going to have an unexpected children's message. What is something unexpected, Emily? Like if I say to you it's unexpected, what would you say to me?
I don't know.
Do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah.
So if it's unexpected that if the sun is shining beautiful and it starts to rain, is that something you would say is unexpected? You didn't think it was going to rain because the sun was out. Well, today, our children's message, we are going to play with cans of soup. So everybody needs to stand up. Henry, Henry, I need your help. I need you to arrange the soup in a straight line right down the center. So everybody grab some soup. So let's say, let's start it here. Emily, we're going to start it right here at the top. Let's do three wide and two high and go straight down the steps. So we're all going to build straight down, three wide and two high. Henry, bring some soup. No, that's perfect. We don't have to be, yep. All right. So you guys keep working and I'm going to keep talking straight down. And the reason we're doing this is that when we think about Jesus and his ministry, it wasn't what people expected. Because everybody expected this great, perfect, keep going, Emily, great king to come. But really, he was born in a stable, in a manger. Who would have thought? And then when Jesus started his ministry, oh my goodness, this is quite the bit of exercise. When Jesus started his ministry, he went to heal people that people didn't expect. Henry, hurry, Henry, you have to help. Grab the cans, put them down. So we, as we build with our cans of unexpected soup, which is taking much longer than I had anticipated, sorry, we're going to create something unexpected. All right. Come on, Holland, come help. I have to rest. I'm winded. Henry, come help here. Henry, help. There's no heckling in the children's message. Because I don't see you building soup cans. All right, we're almost ready. Move back, Emily. We got to do one more. Because we're going to build something with soup. Perfect. All right. Well, that certainly was. I'm going to add a couple cans over here. And we're going to build. Of course, we're giving them to people. So it's all good. It's all good. This is fun. Sure. The two children I tried to entertain aren't even helping. Isn't that the story of life? All right. So, again, Jesus was unexpected. Wait, you have to scoot. Can you scoot this way? We're going to put cans right here because this is the unexpected part. You're going to have to cut your message short. Sorry. Well, no, we need it. There you go. All right, then we're going to step back and see what we made. Wait. Don't move my cans, man. That's the whole unexpected part. Hey, why aren't you helping?
I did all of these.
Oh, goodness. All right. Now, everybody step back. You're tired? Tell me about it. You're a lot more than half my age. Whoops. All right. Can I just move some of these? All right, Emily.
My cannon.
What did we make?
No.
What?
My cannon.
Your cans are waiting.
Power.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's coming true. It's happening here. Wait a minute. Put these right up here. What? Oh, Emily, did you see it? What is it? Everybody step back. Whoa, don't knock them over. Come here, look what we made. Everybody come look what we made out of cans of soup. It's a cross. Unexpected things happen at the cross.
And now baby's got to take it apart.
That's okay. Wait, let's pray. Fold your hands, we got to wrap it up. Heavenly Father, shh. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, shh. We thank you so much for these cans of soup that will bless many. Lord, we thank you for your unexpected ministry from the beginning to the end. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to surprise us, even here at Abundant Life. May your unexpected things come true and help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Now I need to knock it down.
Nope.
Meltdown.
Bye-bye, Cam.
All right. Okay.
Daddy, let's go.
Come on, buddy. Have fun, guys. See you later.
This way, Jonathan.
That's right. I could stay up here and play. That would be all right. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We see the soup here as a physical representation of giving to those who are in need. Today, of course, is Super Bowl Sunday, and for us, we celebrate the Super Bowl of caring, except for those in the congregation. There's one that usually sits there who is somehow missing right now, who, when you see him, he's got his Patriots jersey on, so he's celebrating for a different reason than most of the rest of us. We think about this as a way to fill the food pantries of our area, because this is the time of year that the food pantries, well, they start to run a little bit low. During the holidays, there's this big push for food because there is a recognition that holidays are a time when people need to feel loved. They need to be well fed. But by the time February and March roll around, oftentimes those supplies have begun to dwindle. And then again in the summertime, after a big push during the season of Lent and Easter, then in June, July, and August, things get really low again. So we sort of engineer these ways to be visual reminders of our need to have compassion for other people. That's the key word for today. If there is one word that I want you to walk away with remembering, it's the word compassion. Go ahead and say it, compassion. Compassion. All right. So compassion. Anyone want to give me a working definition of compassion before we get started? Kind of a baseline. What is compassion? Don't need to be shy. What's compassion? Yeah, Iris.
To have care and concern for someone else.
Okay, care and concern from someone else other than yourself. Okay, very good. That's a good starting place. Excellent. Anyone else want to modify that a little bit? Empathy with someone's situation. All right, that's good. Very good. Very good. All right, so empathy, caring for others, that's a good thing. So Jesus, in our story this morning, actually shows us what that sympathy and compassion are all about. Jesus, of course, has just gotten done teaching about what it means to follow God's law, not necessarily by following every letter of everything that the Pharisees have talked about in terms of Sabbath. Remember, that's what we talked about last week. But thinking about how the Sabbath is a life-giving event, that Jesus' ministry is about giving new life. Somehow, the lesson of the cross, which we get to at the end of Luke's gospel, is a lesson about that sort of sacrificial love and care that God has for the world. But at this point, Jesus and his newly appointed apostles, disciples, and a whole bunch of others are moving from where they were to Capernaum. And they come across some servants of a Roman soldier, centurion, a guard. Now, we've talked before about how the Roman Empire and the Jews are not necessarily on a friendly relationship with each other. The Romans are an occupying army in the homeland of the Jewish people. And, well, there are lots of uprisings and rebellions, but the centurion that sends servants to Jesus has a friendly relationship with the Jews. He shows compassion to them by not lording his authority over them, by helping them to accomplish sort of community-oriented activities. You know, imagine someone who perhaps is one of your town council members that you really like, who has done some really good things for your community. That's sort of what this person is to the Jewish people. And so one of his servants has fallen ill. And so the centurion sends a group of people to Jesus to ask if Jesus would be willing to come and heal the man. So Jesus begins to move in that direction when, again, he's met by another group of people from the centurion saying, "You don't actually need to come. In fact, you shouldn't come because I'm not worthy to be in your presence, Jesus. Only say the word, and I know that he'll be healed." Because, he says, as an officer in the army, I have those who follow my orders. When I say do something, they do it. When I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. And Jesus, celebrating the great faith of this Roman centurion, this Gentile, declares that the man will be healed. When the servants go back, they find that indeed the servant has been healed. Jesus takes compassion on the man. Jesus continues on with his disciples on their journey, and they come across a funeral procession. And he sees that there is a widow who is mourning the death of her only son. Which is a very sad story. It's sad enough without all of the economic circumstances that will surround this. In our society, we have social services who would care for an aging widow if there was no one else to care for her. There's Meals on Wheels. There's Social Security. You know, we've kind of built this social fabric in our society to care for people like this. But in Judaism, in this first century, a widow's children are her safety net. See, women in this society that we're talking about here this morning, they don't have any economic possibilities. They rely on the men in their lives to provide for them. And without a husband and without any children, her hope for someone caring for her is gone. She's alone and will likely live a very difficult life from this point forward. So this is the scene that Jesus comes upon. And in our translation, it says that Jesus, his heart goes out to the woman. Other translations of this are that he has compassion on her. Now let's dive into this word compassion for a second. If we were to break it up into its parts, passion is what? What is passion? Anyone know what passion is? If we talk about the passion of the Christ, what is it we're talking about? Okay, fervent desire, perhaps. Maybe desire so great that it hurts. Suffering. Passion is about suffering. And the prefix C-O-M, come, is with. So compassion is literally suffering with someone. It's taking the person's circumstances as your own. There's a Greek word that goes with this, by the way. It's kind of hard to pronounce, splunkthenoi, which just sounds awful, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds you of like your innards or something like that. Well, that's exactly what it is. Our Bible translates it nicely. You know, his heart goes out to the woman. He feels for her in his guts, literally. In the Greek, it's that kind of, you know, visceral sort of aching with this woman. He has compassion on her. It makes him physically hurt for her. which is a pretty far cry from what most signs of compassion in our world are these days. You know, most of the time when we think of compassion, we think of, well, our ability to provide soup, which is a good and noble thing. But the truth is, chances are, none of us will ever meet the people who will receive the cans of soup. And because of the can sale at ShopRite and other things like that, it doesn't cost us a whole lot to provide the soup. So without downplaying the importance of the food for the poor, I want to draw a distinction between that and what Jesus is demonstrating here for this woman as compassion, suffering with. And truthfully, in our society, those of us who are in a position to help others have become inoculated from actually having to suffer with another person. Unless the person is a member of our own family, chances are we have sort of a disembodied understanding of what it is to have compassion on another person. Which means that for those of us in the church, we've sort of lost our ability to really be able to suffer with another person. We've sort of lost our ability to really walk in another person's shoes in this way. Henry Nouwen, a Roman Catholic priest, spiritual writer, one of my favorites, and if you've never read him, I would invite you to go out to the library and pick something up immediately. Your life will be changed. He writes about what Jesus does for these people, this compassion that he shows, as downward mobility. Now, we're familiar with upward mobility, right? When I say upward mobility, it's something that you understand. You do things to further yourself in life, right? You want to Dave Ramsey talks about leaving a legacy for your children, changing your family tree, right? You go to work, you strive for the promotion, you climb the corporate ladder, you get a raise, all of these sorts of things. We're very, very familiar with upward mobility. But what Jesus talks about, and what Nouwen is talking about with Jesus, is downward mobility. The ability to really understand the needs of those who society might deem lower than you are. Not serving them as a person with great able to help, sort of stepping in and dropping the help in and then stepping back, but instead getting down and dirty with those who are in need. This is exactly what Jesus does. In Bible study this morning, in Sunday school, we talked about how Jesus, the act of him touching this dead body, this coffin, has made him ceremonially unclean. He would have to go cleanse himself and do all of these rituals just to be allowed to go back into the worshiping community. And yet Jesus does that very thing. He doesn't allow the social conventions of the time, those things that he could do to further himself in the eyes of the religious authorities, he doesn't care about all of that. He sets all of that aside in order that others might simply be cared for and be able to live and survive another day. The raising to life of this dead son is an act of compassion, not only for the son, but for the widow as well. And so what does all of this mean for us? Does it mean that we should stop bringing soup to church in February? Of course not. This is a vital ministry and a vital need for those who need soup. But what it does mean is that perhaps the ministry that we ought to be undertaking is not simply bringing the soup to church and then going about our daily lives, but being involved in taking the soup from here to the places where people will gather to actually receive it. To hear the stories of those who are in need, to have compassion on them, to suffer alongside of them, to walk a mile in their shoes, if you will, to understand their situation and ache along with them, to mourn alongside of them. That is the ministry that Christ calls us to as Christians. To, in seeing needs, not only meet those needs, but to suffer alongside of another person in the process, knitting ourselves to them in indelible ways, perhaps for the rest of our lives. It's a challenging thing to learn. We're not used to doing it. So it will take some practice. But I'm confident that when opportunities present themselves, the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us in this ministry of compassion to our world. That when we see needs, we will not only jump to meet them, but also to come alongside of those who are in need and recognize that they're not all that different from ourselves, that we are all created by our one true God who shows us what it is to live in this compassionate way, this self-sacrificial way, the way of the cross. Let's take a couple of moments and think about what is one tangible thing that we will do today to show that splunkthanoi to another person, to show that compassion to another person. Let's spend a few moments meditating on that, then I'll close this in a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. How the Spirit shows us how to live our lives, points out to us in each moment opportunities for service. We pray for the courage to use what the Spirit has given us this morning, to live our lives differently, to be filled with compassion for those in need. Continue to guide and direct us, Lord. Continue to be with us all of the days of our lives as we seek to be salt and light in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.